Good evening. Welcome to the live stream Bible study of the Olson Park Church of Christ. My name is Kyle Pope. I preach for Olson Park. Apologize for the delay. If you tuned in to the live stream, our internet connection at the building went out at about 6:20, and so I'm recording this, and I will post it at 7:30. So if you're joining us for that, we apologize for the delay. Technology is a great thing, but it has some quirks from time to time. So we'll jump right in. We want to go ahead and mention that we are now in July. We are only a matter of days away from the debate on the 80-70 doctrine with Holger Neubauer and Bruce Reeves. That will be July 20th, 21st, 23rd, and 24th. I want to remind you that we have flyers available. There's still a big stack of them in the building. Get those. We also have them available online. And a few weeks ago, we did a special bulletin in which Brother Don McLean did an excellent article summarizing the 80-70 doctrine. And on the back of that is a flyer. So that'd be a good way for you to share that with your friends. We are already getting quite a bit of interest in that. I'm getting registrations every day from people that are saying that they're coming. And I wanted to take just a moment or two to address a few things that might come to mind as we think about this. First of all, we can't escape the issue of COVID-19, and many of you perhaps are wondering how we will deal with that. I want to just mention, our members are aware of this, but if you are not a member at Olson Park, since we began assembling back together, I believe it was May 10th, we have practiced social distancing. Our seats are now 6 feet apart. We have hand sanitizer. We have places in which you can sit at acceptable levels. We also have hardwired a large screen TV in a large classroom. And so as things stand, we should be able to observe those same precautions. Some that may choose to wear masks can do that as well. And so for any that come for that, we will observe those protocols. And so hopefully that'll set your mind at ease. We also want to mention that we are getting folks that are going to be traveling from out of town. And I made arrangements months ago with several hotels in town to offer discounts for anyone that would travel. And there is a list of those hotels that's available on the website. If you go to the section on the debate and then look at that section that mentions the hotels, just tell them that you are in town for the debate that Olson Park is hosting, and they will honor that discount. Also, I wanted to really urge our members, especially those that use Facebook, to take advantage of a wonderful feature that we have on social media to share the announcement. I haven't seen a whole lot of our members that have actually shared that yet, and I don't exactly know why that is. You know, whenever you push that share button, it will pop up on your friend's newsfeed. Maybe there are some concerns that you have about it, and I'll try to address those in just a moment, but that is a wonderful opportunity. We talk about how can we share the message of the gospel, and that is an easy way to do it. So if you haven't already done so, or even if you have, go in and hit that share button, and it will be a way to get the word out. I'm sending out electronic announcements. I'm sending out paper announcements, but take advantage of that opportunity. Now, maybe as you think about this, there are some issues that maybe make you wonder, is this really something you want to maybe encourage folks to come to? Are you concerned about debates and that kind of thing? I want to offer a couple of things to you. First of all, I want you to bear in mind that the men that are participating in this have put in a year now or more of work on this, on both sides. I don't share Holger Neubauer's view, but he's put in a lot of time on this. I agree with Brother Bruce Reeves' position, and I've been active helping him, and I know he has weeks and hours he's been devoting that. We need to show our encouragement to that. I know in the four lesson series that I did, I poured in tons of time on that, and our interest that we show in trying to promote this and trying to show that is a good way that we can support gospel preaching, and we need to do that. Pretty much this is going to be at their own expense, largely. I know these men are supported by their own local congregations, but this is a lot of extra effort. Now, maybe you have some concerns about what kind of atmosphere a debate will prompt. I mean, we're in a time now. There's so much conflict going on in the world. Maybe you're thinking, I just don't want another fuss and fight. I can assure you, I am acting as one of the moderators. These men are going to behave like gentlemen. And I'm going to do everything within my power to make certain that this is an environment in which you could bring your children. An environment in which you're going to see people that love the Lord. You're going to see people that love one another. You're going to see people that are trying to figure out what the Bible teaches and trying to persuade people that they are following what the Bible teaches, and if not, trying to determine what the Bible teaches. So don't fret about that. And this could be an excellent way. You know, this is an issue that has not only affected Churches of Christ, it's affected denominations. And you may have friends that maybe they're premillennial, but the issue of, is Jesus really going to come again, would be something important for them to consider. I want you to also think about the benefit that can come from this. It may be that as we've been making preparation for this, maybe you've thought within yourself, well, you know, this is an issue that is not boiled over here at Olson Park. Is this something that really there's that much benefit to? I was encouraged this week, and I'm getting a lot of emails now with people showing interest in live streaming, showing interest in being able to come and travel. I got one from England. You know, we talk about how can we share the gospel. I've gotten several where people have talked about, this is a problem where I am. I've heard about this happening. I've known people that were good friends of mine that got swept up in this. Friends and brothers and sisters, this is a way in which we at Olson Park, even if people can't make it here, we can have an impact. We can do something that can help spread the gospel and advance the cause of Christ, maybe help avoid division and problems throughout the world. So I hope you'll get excited about this, and I hope that you'll do all that you can to support it. Please take advantage of the bulletin this week. The title of it is The Ruler of This World. And again, take advantage of all the resources that we make available, olsonpark.com. You can contact us at the building, 806-352-2809, or my cell phone, 806-341-1686. Let's start with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to take a few moments out from the chaos of this world and to think about the simplicity of your word. Please help us to guide our beliefs, guide our practices, by what we find within your word. Be with me tonight as I study from your word and present these things. Do so in a way that's sound and pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to talk about something tonight that is an issue that I think it kind of lingers in the background in the speech that we use. You know, we talk about sometimes Christians, and you'll hear different things. You've heard people say, well, we have a Christian nation, or it's no longer a Christian nation, or you'll hear people criticize Christians for this or that, or people that will proudly stand up and defend themselves to say that they are Christians. How important it is if we are to understand what the Bible teaches for us to really see, how does the New Testament use that name, Christian? And I'd ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'd like for us to notice in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, an instance in which this word is used. Read with me, if you would, beginning in verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers, notice this, as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? I want us to notice a few things about this. First of all, you'll notice from verse 15, here as it describes those who are Christians and who may suffer as Christians, what does verse 15 tell us is characteristic of those that would be considered Christians? Well, notice the charge here that if you're suffering, don't do it as a thief, don't do it as a murderer, don't do it as one that practices these sinful things. The Christian is one that turns away from sin. How important it is if we are to consider ourselves worthy of bearing the name Christian that we turn away from sin. But notice as well that here, I think it becomes evident that we are talking about those that have obeyed the gospel. This statement that's made here about judgment beginning with the house of God, that describes those that in the previous verses here are characterized as Christians. So, I'm a Christian if I have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let's think further about what the Bible teaches here. We see that a Christian is one who becomes a Christian. Now, you may say, well, obviously, why would we even look at that? Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 26. I mentioned that sometimes we'll use Christian in a variety of different ways, or we'll hear it used in a variety of different ways. A lot of times people will think of it almost as if, well, I was born into a certain place, I was born into a certain family, so obviously I'm a Christian. If you've ever known anyone that was Jewish, many of them will not base that classification on their religious faith, but simply their heritage. Is that the way it is with being a Christian? Read with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 19. We have an account of the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa. And he explains to Agrippa the nature of his faith and his background. He's described the fact that he used to be very zealous among the Jews, he even persecuted Christians. But now he is explaining to him that the Lord had appeared to him, had commanded him things to do. He had obeyed the gospel. And we pick up with that here in verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus, who's one of the officials standing by with the king, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. The king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since the thing is not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Notice with me a few things. This is something that involves persuasion. The king says, you almost persuade me. We're not talking about something that is a condition of birth. This is a choice. You know, we may have family, we may have children, but we must teach them, we must obey the gospel. Our parents are not Christians simply by some heritage. Instead, it is persuasion. We notice as well that it's not something that involves just partial acceptance. What a beautiful statement is made there. He doesn't want him to just be almost a Christian. He wants him to be altogether a Christian. And how important that is for us to understand. What is a Christian on its most basic level? Well, perhaps we can answer that if we look at a text over in Acts chapter 11, in which we have the very first time that anyone is identified by the name Christian. Let's look at Acts chapter 11. Begin with me in verse 19, and we'll go down to verse 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. Notice, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Does this help us understand anything about Christians? Well, notice, disciples are Christians. They are the first to be called Christians. Now, notice that this is something, verse 21, that involves turning to the Lord. Remember, it's persuasion. It's not condition of birth. It's not that you're a Christian just because your parents were. Not that you're a Christian just because that's what you've always been around or the country you live in. Notice it involves as well, verse 23, Barnabas encouraged them to continue in the Lord. Simply because I have obeyed the gospel doesn't mean that if I no longer do those things that are characteristic of being a disciple of Christ, that I continue as a Christian or continue as a disciple of Christ. Now, let's think a little bit about this idea of being a disciple. Because Jesus tells us some things about what it means to be a disciple. Look over in Luke chapter 14 with me for a moment. In Luke chapter 14, we're not talking about something that's just kind of a minor allegiance. You know, it might be that you have some club that you're a part of, and maybe you show up for a meeting every now and then, but it's not really something that affects your life very much. Is that what it's like to be a Christian? Not as Scripture defines it. Notice in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Now notice what this indicates to us. It indicates to us that this is something that demands a change of life. It demands total allegiance to the Lord. Look at a similar passage in Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8. And let's notice, beginning in verse 34, Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Notice the same idea we read a moment ago, and take up his cross and follow me. And for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What a powerful passage that is. If I am to be a Christian, I must be a disciple. And if I am to be a disciple, it means that I deny myself. It means that I take up my cross. That's not talking about martyrdom necessarily, although if that's what being a Christian demands, I must be willing to do it. It is talking about bearing whatever it takes to follow the Lord. Now, that leads us to an important question, because if we understand a Christian is a disciple, does the Bible tell us how it is that one becomes a disciple? Absolutely. And we see that in what's sometimes referred to as the Great Commission that is recorded over in Matthew chapter 28. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 28, before Jesus ascends back into heaven, he gives an assignment or a commission to his apostles. And in this statement, we learn some important things about what it means to be a disciple and thus what it means to be a Christian. Notice verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make, notice this, disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, I want you to notice the wording here. They are to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. So one becomes a disciple through baptism and obedience to the teaching of Christ. Now, with that said, that's kind of just a brief survey of what the Bible teaches us about how the word Christian is used. I want us to notice some things that we must understand about this as well, because we need to recognize how Christian is not used in the New Testament. For example, it is not used as a category or a genre. It is used of people, not of things. Now, if there's any exception to that, I'll show you what I mean by that. But as it is used in Scripture, it's talking about the people who are Christians. Now, I want us to understand that this word Christian is properly an adjective that is used as a noun. Let me fix something here that got off just a second. There we go. It is an adjective that is used as a noun. And in fact, this is an example where the Greek word that's found in the New Testament actually draws from a Latin ending. That I-A-N-U-S ending comes from Latin, and then it's Hellenized as it's brought into Greek. And it's essentially equivalent to the idea of a possessive. In other words, it belongs to someone. We sometimes will treat the word Christian as if it's describing to be like something or to be like Christ. Now, while that's true of one who's a Christian, really that I-A-N-U-S or I-A-N-O-S ending in the Greek word is used of that which belongs to someone. Now, I said that it's used of people. This is very similar. That idea of possession is very similar to another word that we will find in Scripture from time to time that is applied to some things. But we're not going to see Christian really applied in that way, even though it has that possessive sense. For example, there's a word in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, that's used of the Lord's Supper, and it's kurios is the word for Lord in Greek. Kuriakos is that which belongs to the Lord. So the Lord's Supper that's being referred to there is the supper that belongs to the Lord. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, there we'll use it of the Lord's Day. So those things are possessions that are things that belong to the Lord. But when we see Christian used, it's used of the people that belong to the Lord. And I think that's important for us to understand. So, you know, we really shouldn't talk about this thing is a Christian thing or that thing is a Christian thing. That's not really the way that Scripture uses it, because Scripture uses it of those people that belong to the Lord. But another thing that's important for us to understand about this is Christian is not used of those who accept part of the gospel but not all of it. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you remember in the wording that we noticed in Acts chapter 26, verse 29, where the Apostle Paul, there as he's talking to Agrippa, says, not just almost, but altogether, I wish that you were as I am, except for these chains. To be a Christian means that we deny ourselves, that we take up our cross, we follow Jesus completely. It means that we turn from sin to the Lord, as we noticed in Acts chapter 11, verse 21. Those in Antioch were turning to the Lord. Now, why is that important? Well, it might be that someone may accept many principles that are taught in the gospel. They may accept many things that are true of Christians. But what if one doesn't accept all of it? What if one maybe believes, but they don't confess Jesus before men? Or they believe, but there's some sin that they just don't really repent of. Are they a Christian? As it's defined in Scripture, one must be altogether obedient. Remember in the description of what it means to be a disciple in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, a disciple is one who follows the teaching of Jesus. Remember, make disciples, baptizing and teaching them to obey all the commandments of the Lord. Well, that's a pretty simple consideration. It's not very complicated, but it's what the Bible teaches. And so I would ask you this evening, are you a Christian? Have you put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Have you confessed that faith before men? Have you repented of sin that separates you from God and then been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? If not, we would love to help you in that. Are you continuing in the Lord as Christians did? Faithful in your service to the Lord? Olson Park is a congregation of Christians simply seeking to follow the Bible as our guide. And if we can help you, we would love to do so. You may contact us through our, you may leave a message at the building, 806-352-2809. You may call my cell phone, 806-341-1686. You can contact us on the website, olsonpark.com. We are assembling Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we'd love to have you come for that. Let's go to God in prayer as we end our time together. Dear Lord, we're grateful to you for this day. Thank you for our study of your word. May it be that in our lives we do those things that we find in Scripture that characterize what it means to be a Christian. Forgive us when we fail you, and help us to get up quickly and to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. I apologize once again if we got a late start on this. We'll try to post this, and hopefully it'll be up at 7:30. But thank you so much for tuning in to the live stream Bible study of Olson Park Church of Christ.